Sports Radio 610 presents The Drive with Sterner and Hughley. Dive into the mind of former NFL quarterback Clint Sterner.
I like a good time. I like to have a party.
I know you do.
It's Dirty's Daily.
Clint is out today. He'll be back in tomorrow. Adam Spolane is in the building, but we got you covered for Dirty's Daily. And Tyler, I got to give credit to the boss. Park really stepped in on this one. I think this is a fantastic idea. I think that Major League Baseball should, I told you in the break, I went back and I watched probably for 10 minutes, rewatched that at bat of those strike calls. And the idea that the boss had was, what if they basically made Angel Hernandez the Gene Steratore, the rules analyst that Major League Baseball, that ESPN or Fox went to? All right, but we've got an interesting play here that is going to go to replay. But Angel, what is it do you see here?
That would be great TV.
They don't have a rules analyst for any of these games.
I don't think they do.
Either. Like, you look at the World Series.
They just have Joe Davis talk.
Yeah, and remember the interference call against Trey Turner in the World Series 2 years ago? They did not have a rules analyst.
Oh, could
there
you imagine that. If that was Angel Hernandez?
Just give me a rules interpretation.
Guys, I don't really see anything here. I'm not quite sure what they. I've got it. What do they have him as? Safe? I got him out here. It's from the replay that I see here. Oh God, that would be a great spot for Angel.
By the way, Phil Cuzzy on the crew for Astros Braves this week. Dan Bellino, the crew chief.
Stop. Phil Cuzzy's not a crew chief.
No, he's not.
Wow. Okay, stop. All right, I'm not. Even
I don't know who's doing which position yet, but yeah, it's Phil Cuzzy on this crew. So
yeah,
fun times.
I feel like he watches old Eric Gregg footage from him against Levon Hernandez and says, "Let me see if I can."
He made Levon's career.
He did. Yeah, it did. All right. I need Clint, man. I need him in the worst way. We got to talk about this tomorrow when he comes back.
That makes me feel great.
No, we do. We got to talk about it. We got to talk about it because, I mean, Adam, maybe you could help here. I don't know.
I probably can't.
But I need Clint to step in and step up here. My son and his kids got hustled yesterday. We got hustled. All right. And there are some names that could be named in this hustle, but I'll keep them. I'll keep them hidden right now. But my son's playing a little flag football, a little spring flag football, not to be real serious. And I tell you the nature of how serious it is. They're kind of just fooling around like almost the way I-9 does, where you practice for 45 minutes before the game and then you play. All right, just fun. Kids, they're different ages. My son's playing for the Saints also. He's doing a little spring ball, but he's coming in playing a little fun flag football. All right, had a meet and greet last week where you met the kids, and then the game was this week. Had 45 minutes of practice. So we go through and we kind of see what we got. Got some kids that are really into the game. Got some kids that maybe are some first-timers. And we're kind of running through things, 45 minutes, seeing what we got. Hell, who can throw? Who can catch? Who can run? Who knows what's going on? You know, 45 minutes. We knew it was going to be a kind of a difficult game. But, you know, hey, we're having fun. We'll see what happens. We'll get better as the season goes on. We get down there. Mind you, I'm saying, like, there was a meet and greet last week. First time we met the kid. First time we practiced. We get down there, get ready to play the game. And my wife has already texted me. And this could get ugly. I said, really? She said, yeah, I just watched them warm up. This could get ugly. I got down there. They got 10 kids. 10 kids, Tyler and Adam, who know exactly what they're doing. All of them. These are all kids who have played organized football. I wouldn't be surprised if all of them play tackle. And I'm like, wow, okay, all right, here we go. We lost the toss. They deferred. We're on offense first. They got a defensive coordinator. He runs out there. I swear before God, he's got a play sheet. He's got a play sheet. He's on his knees, and they're going over the play sheet. And I promise one of the kids start making defensive calls.
What kind of defense are they in?
It looked like there's only five on the field, so it looked like they had a
are they like in zone
it was kind of confused on who was rushing, what they were doing. They clearly had something going on. And two plays in, they went like hockey and they did like a line switch. And they brought in a brand new five and they ran through all new different calls. I said, what in the hell? I walked over to the coach. Mind you, I'm not the coach. I'm just a parent helping that then took over the defense in the second half. I walked over. I said, I'm going to go out on the limb and say, this ain't the first time you all have practiced. Kind of chuckled at me. Oh, we might have a foot up on you. Wife found out later. This team's been together for 2 years. Practice, play, know each other, play in another league for 2 years. Needless to say, they went ahead and kicked our ass. I mean, it was rough.
After you started running the defense?
After we started running the defense, we gave up 6 points. All right. We had a couple of turnover on downs. That's what happened. But I think we got hustled. Clearly we got hustled there. And I'm gonna need Clint to come in and install an offense. I think we got the defense. I think we got some. I'm gonna need Clint to come in and install an offense.
You said there were some names that you didn't want to say.
Yeah, I know you're trying to get messy here, Adam, and that's what
I'm just curious who the names were.
Now listen, I'll keep them to myself right now. Okay, all right, stop being messy. I'm just saying
you brought it up, not me.
We got hustled. I just want to tell the full story.
But who'd you get hustled by? I guess it's the question.
A team of kids who have played together before, and I just need Clint to step in, be at the next practice. Maybe it doesn't have to be at the next practice. At least install an offense. I feel like Clint could give us 5 to 10 solid plays.
I just kind of want to know who got hustled by. Really all I care about.
I think it was 5 to 10 plays. I did. This is ridiculous. I was hot. Smoking hot. So what Tex said, that's what you get. It's not what I get.
Be prepared.
My son did play his ass off. I'll give him that. And the kids did too. Man, they tried their best.
But they got hustled by some unnamed
people. I felt like we were at a pool hall. When that man took his knee with that damn...
Were the refs on the take too?
No, man, he couldn't believe it either. I go, when they had plays, I just said...
When they're running plays on defense, that's...
Oh, the first touchdown was a rollout to the right and a throwback pass on a dig route crossing the other way.
Sounds like someone... It kind of sounds like you're playing against someone that has coaching experience.
they had at least coached together. I'll tell you that.
At a higher level than the 10-year-old flag football.
Feels like they were at a higher level.
Interesting.
I mean, it was insane.
Playing Jesse.
I think Clint, you think Clint steps up? Tyler, you think he'll step up? I need him.
You afford him?
I think in his heart he'll want to. But I have serious doubts about the follow through.
I just need him to draw me up a couple of plays. That's it.
Just a couple?
I'd like for him to get out there. I think if I could get him out there with me next Sunday, because we have bumped up to practice for an hour. If I can get him out there next Sunday.
If he could just set up some base packages for you.
If I get him out there, I think he'll be out there every Sunday.
Just work on the route tree.
Yes, the route tree, let him work on. Listen, my son's doing the best he can. We had to put him at quarterback. I was hot.
Well, who are you coaching against?
I was hot.
I think everybody wants to know who you're coaching against. 713.
The messiest cat in the world. Can I
just ask you this question? Do you think less of the person that you were coaching against today than you did 48 hours ago?
Yes.
Okay. Who is it?
He's a really nice guy.
Is this something that
He's a really nice guy.
If you were ever in a public setting with him, would you bring it up?
Yes. I'm going to.
H-Town, I'm back.
I brought it up to him yesterday.
Wait, Tyler, play that again.
H-Town, I'm back.
No, it was not. It was not DeMeco Ryan's. You stopped it.
We don't like that.
was not D'Amico Ryans coaching the other team. He was not coaching the other team.
Just, were his like fingerprints though in that defense?
It looked like it. Okay. It looked like.
So the defense was swarming.
Yeah, they had a team name. We didn't have a team name. They broke down. They said 49ers. They had a team name.
Wow, 49ers. I mean, you said that they had been together for a couple of years, so.
They had. What we found out.
Interesting.
It was really embarrassing. By the way, real quick. Damn thing was ridiculous. I need you, Clint. All right? I need you. Come on, put together an offense. I know you're listening to this. I need you. Put together an offense. By the way, the Astros, they got a big series coming up. I'm just curious from you all. Who do you have the most confidence in the starters the next three games? Ooh. If you had the most confidence, Spencer Gettie gets the ball tonight, Hunter Brown, and then J.P. France.
Not Hunter Brown.
Hunter Brown's dead last?
Yes. As of right now, yeah.
It depends on like confidence like to do what exactly. I think of the three, J.P. France is the most reliable. Now, after that, Eric Gettie was pretty good the first two innings in Kansas City, and then he just couldn't get out of that third. Hunter Brown has been pretty bad, though. So
For mine, it's damn near not Hunter.
He's got the highest ceiling, though, of the three.
He does, but not right now.
The floor is not quite
the next,
that high.
I think it's Spencer.
Of the three, you're taking him?
For me, it's just for me.
He doesn't throw enough strikes.
For me, the only saving grace is maybe he was just really nervous, and that was his first outing.
Have been bad. Like the first two innings were pretty good.
And they were all right, but I'm just saying, like, just the whole thing. Maybe he settled down after his first start. These other two right now, Hunter just doesn't have it, and J.P. France. I mean that. Just the look in his eyes, that was just.
I'll take J.P. France.
No, you got J.P. I think Spencer's the one. I feel like I'm just. I think I probably go with him just because of the more unknown, and the hope that maybe he was just nervous. Maybe he was just nervous and crossed fingers. Now he takes a deep breath and he faces the Atlanta Braves lineup as opposed to that Royals lineup. But he faces that Braves lineup and he takes a deep breath and he feels better.
Texter texts in on the text line, who's the coach?
They got smoked. It's ridiculous. 2 years.
By who?
It's ridiculous. The 49ers. That's so hot.
I gave you an easy out with that one.
That's so
that
hot.
Team name.
When that kid, when they started making calls out there defensively, and they did a full shift change, I said, you got to be. That's all right, though. With Clint's help and my guidance on the defense, clearly had taken it up a notch. With my guidance on the defense, we'll see him again.
You think they're watching film?
I would not be surprised. The way they were after it.
Must have some resources.
I would not be surprised if they weren't watching film.
Got some resources.
But it was absolutely ridiculous.
Who was it?
Angry. Angry I was. I kept it cool. I didn't go crazy. A little angry.
At who?
H-Town, I'm back.
The whole situation. Just ridiculous.
We don't like that.
How messy you are. Just quit trying to be messy, Tyler.
I want his ass.
I do. I want him. I did end up. I was just being a coach, a parent helping. I ended up taking over that damn defense.
Hold on, show.
If it was Cal, I would have said it. I would have taken a picture with Cal and made him do a video with me about how they just hustled us.
The arrow's pointed up.
Ridiculous. We'll see him again. We'll have about 3 days of practice. And we'll see their asses again.
OTAs are pretty soon, too.
Coming up. All right, speaking of the Astros this past weekend series, where are you at now? Did the last two games, them winning that series against the Rangers, did it make you feel a lot better about your concerns with this Astros team? We'll discuss that coming up next.
Sports Radio 610 presents The Drive with Sterner and Hubley.
From the text line, was the coach Bill O'Brien. Who should Clint help against? Who is it against? Guys, stop. I may have to unload it, but I'll keep it close to the vest. One of the parents did text in and say, yes, they've killed us 20 to nothing. He's a parent on our team. I felt flattered. One of the parents asked me, hey, did you play college football? I said, come on, man. To myself, like, you ain't played no damn college football.
High school state champion, though.
You're damn right.
Don't you forget it.
You're damn right I was. But I'm serious, though, Clint. I need you. I need you. I started getting a little super competitive out there. Just blitzing kids the whole way. Kids that knew what time it was. Yeah. Stop. Why are you so messy? I did not know this about him until we worked with him a few
Spo's
times.
Spo's messy?
Spo is How? Messy.
And keep a clean workstation in God, there?
The last time we did something, I forgot what drama was happening. And he was.
I think there was an issue between you and Tyler.
Yes.
Sounds right.
He said, why don't you talk about it? He just steps in and steps out.
I mean, it's hard for me because I'm not in here. Ever. So I never know what's going on.
Sure.
So I just, it would be nice to kind of get briefed on any drama or anything that's kind of simmering between the two of you.
So you can
like the Super Bowl thing. Like, because you didn't want Tyler to go to the Super Bowl.
That's
so.
Not true.
Damn.
That is not true.
This is where we're going today, huh?
This damn. Yep. You're just like the Area 45 guys. Just like them. Just making
you're
up
still beefing
lies.
With them?
Just making up lies. I'm not beefing with anybody except for those people who hustled us last week.
Ron Hewley. Who are those people?
That's good. That's good. I'm not going to slip up. I'm not.
And they say no.
How y'all feeling? 6-11. And it looked rough after the J.P. French start on Friday. And I think a lot of Astros fans, even still, I think we're still, all right, I'm going to keep telling myself it's early. I'm going to keep telling myself they'll pull it together. Legitimately, what did this series against the Rangers mean? How did, at least for you as a fan, how did it make you? Did it kind of make you feel like, whew, we could take a deep breath. They're back. The boys are good. They're going to turn this around. Where are you at after the two wins on Saturday and Sunday against the Rangers?
Well, when you're sitting at 4-11, you're in some dangerous territory, and you put yourself in danger of digging yourself a hole that you can't dig out of just because.
Did you stop the it's too early conversation after 4-11?
In a sense, yes, because I went through like the worst 15 game starts in the wild card era, and only three of those teams had actually gone to the playoffs. So at some point, yeah, it's early after 15 games, but. Man, 4-11 is really bad, and it's really hard. If you start out 4-11, you're usually a really bad team. Like, that's just usually how it is. But seeing them play, like, they played really well the last two games. I think the last two games, that's more a picture of what you can expect. And what was encouraging about the two wins, obviously the offense was good, and they started hitting the ball, and they started getting timely hits, which is something that they've really struggled with. But seeing Ronel Blanco have back-to-back good starts against the Rangers. Like, it's one thing to do it once
they
against
just
a
saw
team.
Him. Yeah.
Yeah, it's one thing to do it once against a team that doesn't know you all that well and to pitch well against those guys. But to do it again 5-6 days later, it showed that this start by him might be real. Because there's some skepticism, I think, about Ronel Blanco.
When it was 2-0 in that first inning, I was like, oh, hell.
The fact that he went through that lineup 3-4 times in Arlington and then got better in the second start, that shows a lot. And that shows that he has the stuff that's going to be able to maintain. Now, the one issue with Blanco is that he's going to start getting into some innings territory that he hasn't gotten into, but we'll worry about that down the road. So the fact that he pitched well against that team for the second time and the fact that Christian Javier is off to a really good start, I think that's some real reason for optimism, especially when you consider Verlander's probably going to start a game this weekend. Framber Valdez is due back pretty soon. And so it feels like that maybe they have gotten through the worst of this.
Yeah, listen, I thought it was a big win after they were able to come back from the five run first inning from Blair Henley, and they were able to come back and win that game. I thought that was a big win. And I thought the last 2 days were too, man. Because if you lose that series, Right. And you, now, as you said, man, they won those last. You're staring at the very least 5-12, mm-hmm. right? And that is like, and now the negative mojo keeps going. And then you got this Braves team coming in as well, which a lot of people look at potentially them and the Dodgers as the favorites. So I thought it was huge, just like that was. Someone from the text line this past weekend's wins are irrelevant considering we won with our two best pitchers this season. The next three games will truly gauge where we are at the end. I'm not optimistic at all. I don't think the next three games will truly gauge because I don't know how many of these three guys are going to be pitching when the guys that come back healthy get in, right? Like Verlander comes back, which we could see Friday. Somebody's leaving. I'm guessing it's Spencer. Somebody's leaving. When Framber comes back in, one of those two are leaving. It's not Blanco at this point now. I think you got to keep him in. And, hell, I think whenever Keedy would have come back, if these guys are still pitching the same way they are, they'll probably be gone. So I'm not going to say it means nothing because, hell, you don't want to just get swept, you know, and it being 6-14 out of this Braves series. But I do think what is sustainable is the bats waking up, right? And like I don't know if Altuve is just going to go crazy like he is. But Altuve, Alvarez, Tucker are all really, really good hitters. And it is real, right? And the lineup can be that. And now Bregman is going to come back. He's feeling better to see if he gets down. Yiner, this is starting to be real. Like, this lineup is real. And I'm not saying they're going to put up 8, 10, 11, 12 runs. But, like, if your pitching can just give them a chance. Yes. And not have them down 9-0, you know, when they take the plate the second time they come up like they were against the Royals, or just blowouts, and it's just out of control. Then this offense gives you a chance. I think that's very, very real. So I do feel good about it. Now I'm not saying the concerns are gone, like I'm out, but I do feel better about the fact what we saw. I think is something they can replicate. If they just get any kind of solid, decent starting pitching.
And you feel like they should. Like, you feel like the track records of these guys is good enough, at least the guys that are coming back, to where they should be okay. Now, the bullpen is still, like, you saw this. The one negative of the last 2 days was Seth Martinez kind of blowing up in the ninth inning yesterday, so that forced Espada to have to burn Hader. Like, that's not what you're looking to do. So that middle relief core is still an issue, and they've been a little bit better since that rough first week, but it's still something that you've got to watch out for. First base right now is bad, and Jose Abreu has been bad, and there are really no signs of that getting any better anytime soon. So they're in a better position today than they were in Friday night, but there's still some concerns there, absolutely.
Absolutely, yeah, so we'll see. But this did – the way they won, that you said, the way they were able to play Saturday and Sunday has to give you some feeling that some real signs of life are being shown. Now, as the texter said, we could get up here on Wednesday and be like, good God Almighty, they have got to hurry up and get the reinforcements and the rotation back. These are some big starts for these three guys.
Yes. And like you said, the Astros are going to get some guys back, but you would like to know that if somebody else gets hurt down the road, you have some depth that you can like really count on. And I think right now you sit with this rotation and, man, after those first four, if we get a couple more guys hurt, then there's some real issues. And they don't have other ways. They really can't go outside the organization to improve their starting rotation if they need to down the road. Like, all their reinforcements have to be from within because they just can't really trade for anybody at this point.
Yep. They don't really have that in their farm system. All right, coming up. Are you, as Texans fans, are you comfortable with all of the hype from everybody, it seems like, for what they believe the Houston Texans are capable of doing next year? Are you comfortable with all of the hype? We'll discuss that coming up next.
Sports Radio 610 presents The Drive with Sterner and Hughley.
I think it's fair to say that the Houston Texans are the most hyped team in the NFL right now. I can't think of any. I think they aren't.
They're damn near.
I can't think of anybody. Like hype. Like
yeah.
Like I think most people, if you were to say who would you pick to win the Super Bowl, I think people would probably still at this point either say the Chiefs or the Niners.
Mm-hmm. I like that one right there.
But just hype, the growing hype, the growing. This is like. I think they've even surpassed what the Lions were. Last year, I think the Lions, they were like the maybe almost dark horse sexy pick. It feels like people have even viewed the Texans after this offseason, you know, even past that. Because I don't think the Lions were a top three Super Bowl favorite from Vegas last year. Like it was improved over what they did before. Now the Lions didn't make the playoffs the year before, and they didn't have the quarterback.
Yeah, that's the big thing.
It's a big thing. But they were the sexy pick. And that's what last year. I think the Texans are further ahead of that. And this would have been my thinking, and I'm sure I may be completely alone on this. And I just see everybody hyping a team like this. It makes me kind of stop. And think, hold on, Joe. Everybody is looking at this thing. And when you look at it, you're like, you see on paper, they should be a lot more improved. They should take another step. But you look at it like CJ, I think he's got more help now. It's not all on him, but he still has to play at that high level. Right. And we'll see what happens, you know, with the rest of the group. But their schedule is so much more difficult. I had someone text in earlier and say, are you basing the schedule off last year? Partly, but really, no. Of the teams, that if we were to do a power rankings, if somebody would do the most trusted people you would think in football, whoever you trust would do a power ranking, the Texans probably play as many top 10 teams in that power ranking than the most people would look at. They play the Chiefs. They play the Ravens. They play the Lions. They play the Cowboys. They play the Packers. They play the Dolphins, the Bills, the Jets. Like they have a really tough schedule. Just when I hear that hype train, Adam, that makes me just pause a little bit. Like, when everybody is all on one thing, when everybody is jumping on one thing, especially on a team that is ahead of schedule, which I think that counts for Houston Texans. I'm just wondering. Is anybody a little nervous at all about all this hype?
There's a cemetery just filled of overhyped teams that completely fall flat. And you can go through the list of just over the last couple of years. Like the Chargers have been on that list the last couple of years.
Oh, the Chargers have lived on it since they got hurt.
They were going to overtake the Chiefs multiple times the last couple of years. Like they were that division was going to be theirs. The Jets were that last year. When they got Aaron Rodgers,
yeah.
It happens now, all the time.
At least we know what happened there with them.
Yes, but again, injuries are part of the game. And that's why you can never be too sure on a lot of this stuff because you are just a few injuries away from having your season completely turn around. You saw it with the Bengals. It looked like the Bengals were going to be really good last year, and then all of a sudden Joe Burrow gets hurt in training camp, and that derailed
It's not just injuries. It is also anybody potentially taking a step back.
Yeah.
And that anybody going Petrie or Pierce.
Well, I think D'Amico said this today, like you take that big jump year one to year two. That's not really true. And we saw that last year where Jalen Petrie did not take the jump year one to year two. Damian Pierce did not take the jump year one to year two. And development isn't linear. Like it's like you don't always get better year one to year two. And like you said, sometimes you get worse. Now, I think what the Texans have on their side, it's not like they got amazing injury luck last year. Like a lot of times when these teams take big jumps, it's because they had a bunch of guys the whole roster stayed healthy. That wasn't the case. The entire offensive line was hurt. Nico Collins missed it. Like, I don't think they ever had their full set of skill position guys at any point, at least once you got into the season, because Collins missed some time. Noah Brown wound up missing some time. Robert Woods missed some time. Dalton Schultz missed some time. Singletary even missed some time. So you should have, in their case, a little bit better injury luck, at least offensively. And so that's going to help them moving forward. But I think for me, it's all about the quarterback. And if you think the quarterback is that guy, and I do think he's that guy, then there is a leap coming, I think.
Text line, Ocho, Ron, I'm with you on the discomforting hype for the Texans. It's mainly because of their strength of schedule is brutal, especially compared to last season. Someone texts in, every year the Bills are overhyped. I know it. The Jags, I think, fit into that category. Yeah, I think the Jags were really hyped last year. I think we talked about it. Cleveland, the Baker, like some of those Baker years were really, really hyped.
There was a Minnesota year where they were hyped up after the year after they went to the NFC Championship game and then they signed Kirk Cousins. They were a favorite to get to the Super Bowl. They didn't make the playoffs that year. So, like, this does happen all the time. But I think that if you look at, like, the win total, I don't necessarily think they're going to win 12 games, but that doesn't mean they won't be in the playoffs because I do think the division is there for them. And I do think that they are far and away the best team in the division. And they play 14 of the same, the division teams, they all play the 14 same opponents. 14 of the 17 games are against common opponents. It's about those three. It's about they have to play.
And that became the difference in the division, partly.
Yeah,
the
because division. They, and we went through this where Jacksonville's three extra games were San Francisco at home, and then they played
the Chiefs.
And then the last one was against Buffalo.
Buffalo.
And they went 1-2 in those games. The Texans' three games that they played were against
the Cardinals,
the Jets, and the last game was Cleveland? No, not Cleveland.
The Broncos.
Yes. And they went 2-1 in those games. That was the difference in the division right there.
And this year the difference will be they play Kansas City, Baltimore, and the Cowboys as opposed to a team like Jacksonville who will play Denver,
Philly,
and Cleveland.
Now, I look at the Cowboys right now. Like, who do you think is better right now, the Eagles or the Cowboys? I kind of think it might still be the Eagles at this point based on what Dallas has done this offseason where they really haven't done anything.
We'll see what happens with that. I mean, the Eagles have improved their team more. They got some weird stuff happening.
Yes.
And as much as Mike McCarthy is
he might be fired.
Down, you know, talked about as a coach, like they had some weird stuff happening over there. At the very least, I'm not sure where the Jags play Philly. I know the Texans go to Dallas.
They play in Philly.
But so it's just
the AFC teams have the extra road game this year.
But here's another thing: is Jacksonville played a tough schedule? They've played a tough schedule before. Like the Texans' schedule compared to what they've seen last year was, I mean, it's night and day.
There is a big difference between playing a fourth place schedule and playing a first place schedule, and the Texans are about to find that out.
Tyler, how do you feel? Where are you on the hype? Does it all like give you like, oh man, hey, calm down, y'all, calm down.
Well, yes, but no, I've been riding the hype wave 100%. I mean, it's been nothing but good vibes. We've been spoiled in a sense after the nightmare we went through. But it's been nothing but hype and positive feelings with the players on this team, with the roster, with what you got going on in the front office. You got new uniforms coming in. I'm riding the hype wave 100%.
And someone said, Ron, stop being a Debbie. No, I'm on it with you. I said it. The first thing I said when they got Diggs was they're a Super Bowl contender. I just want a couple more people to sound like Shannon Sharp and say, like, hey, hold on a second. Like, this is a team that now has expectations.
Yeah!
This is a team that's got to play with expectations. This is a team that's playing with a different schedule. Like, we've seen these guys do it once. Can you do it again? It's none of that. Yeah. It's Vegas. We like them as much as we like the Ravens. What? It is. They're a top three. Like, it's just, wow. Like, whoa. Like, everybody? Like, nobody is like, let's slow down. But I think you were making this point, and I think the biggest reason why I feel better about the Texans than like last year's Jags, the Browns that we talked about, is their coach and quarterback combination. I feel a lot better about, and it is not to say it can't happen, but it is harder to see D'Amico and CJ becoming what Doug Peterson and Trevor Lawrence became, becoming what Kevin Stefanski and Baker became the next year, or becoming what Brandon Staley and Justin Herbert became, where they just have a hard drop-off. I think that is the belief in CJ is so much stronger than the belief than others. And I think last year, coming off of what Jacksonville did, not, you know, the year that Jacksonville came in to last year, winning, going off at the end of the year, going on that long run at the end of the year, winning a playoff game, coming back against the Chargers, and then playing the Chiefs really tight in the playoff game and losing there. I think the hype and the thought of Trevor was really high, but not nearly as high as it is right now.
Part of that,
for C.J. Stroud.
To me, part of that is just that Jacksonville didn't do a ton that offseason. They spent their money the year before. The Texans won the division last year, won a playoff game last year, and then they added two to the roster. So I think that's the big difference. And I don't necessarily think the offseason has been like a 100% success, but they have certainly upgraded the talent across the board.
They have, I think, hit a home run on the offseason overall. I would say, what are you looking at me like that for?
A little old for me. They went a little old with some of the guys they added. That's all I'll say.
I mean, it can't be perfect.
Well, no, it can't. It
can't be perfect.
Who's the coach, by the way?
D'Amico Ryans. Great guy.
H-Town, I'm back.
Great guy.
The one from... I meant, who's the coach that you went up against?
Oh.
You just said D'Amico Ryans. So.
I thought you were saying, who's the coach of this team?
I know who the coach is.
Listen, stop being messy.
Going back.
I mean, he goes back. He reaches back to be messy.
See if I can trap you.
Try to, aren't you?
We don't like that.
Yeah, I just want a couple of people saying, no, man, I like the Jags this year. I like the Jags this year. Just a little bit. Not just everybody. Because I'm telling you, with all this hype, nobody is overlooking the Texans. Yeah. No, nobody is coming in. Not to say they would, but nobody. Like, you're the Ravens. You're sitting there. Yeah, I mean, I know we lost a couple guys, but damn, we got Derrick Henry. Yup. That team, we beat 36-10. Yup. Y'all think we can't.
The Texans aren't a trap game anymore.
No, what? Not a trap game and not a game where you're taking it easy during the week, preparing for them. Yeah. So you're King Messi. I am not King Messi. This fellow over here, he's the worst of the messy ones, the ones you just don't see coming. Then all of a sudden, you end up here. Coming up, 5 o'clock fire, news on Justin Verlander. Good news. We'll let you hear from the manager what he had to say. We'll get you ready for this game tonight. And the lineup is out for Spencer Arrigetti, his second start. And D'Amico spoke to the media today, and he talked about why he was so confident in bringing in Diggs. We'll let you hear all of that coming up next right here live on The Drive.